也是过几天，你这边还没得人帮你。你走过来，你第一个建议给他听。
And your tenant under the Matrimony to the general tomorrow. just had a problem with blood. Also from the deep bathroom side, of course, it was from the opposite.
Di kalau mencari bisa berhenti. Eh apa itu berhenti? So I had asked her to come. Yes, she loves me to come to the so she is the only one that will come to the well, we can't start without parliamentary. So the only one that has to come to the next person. If you have not said that, probably I will be added, I can't say that I misunderstood. I thought the presentation you are looking for is the one that comes from the English what they are going to deal with the finances, how to bring it to the finances. And yet make sure that, like I have thought, that we are going to get that presentation also. So maybe it's me that must apologize for the treasure part. I did not understand. Like that, but I think let's wait for the presentation so that the thing can be done.
Can I then propose, Chairman, on the agenda, just to add a portion there, it was a 3 points, the consideration of the adoption of the report, then it's got a briefing by DBE, which, by the way, was also part of the press. If you know, we normally have Auditor General coming to brief us before we deal with the report as an example, right? DBE is coming to present to us on the financial implications. National Treasury becomes their regulatory report on whatever is being presented, it's all put in there. That's how we understood it from other people of the field as well. So maybe I understand your policy comes in. Maybe you may take into consideration as we deal, whether should we have Treasury at some point to come in and give that presentation to us based on what DBE gives. So my proposal on point number 3, before we go to close by floor, can I then add that Parliamentary Legal Services gives us a report on the Constitution? That was the point on the agenda. A report on any constitutional implications or whatever case may be before we go into clause by clause. That's to safeguard the process, because if we don't do that, then you come to have a challenge. So my proposal is that to add that on the agenda before we adopt the agenda.
Now, we want us to adopt the agenda.
No, I wanted to drop the agenda. I'm just making...
No, but also, this thing also says that we will have to be guided by parliamentary legal services too on it.
That's what I'm saying, Chief.
No. Murakota then was up and then to get to them at once.
My chair, good morning to yourself. And good morning to the Deputy Minister. And the entire DBE team and the staff of course and the my fellow honourable members of this portfolio committee. I thought your summary on the role of the parliamentary services is assisting. You see, at a portfolio committee or at a meeting, we need to be very clear, because you see the umbrella approach by the parliamentary legal services on the entire process cannot in any way stall the meeting from proceeding. More so that you have clarified that, you see, we have gone through all this process without any caution of saying you are overstating here and there. And now where we need the parliamentary legal service to chip in is when we will be going clause by clause as to the resolve we take on a particular clause is not going to require legal issue. But for us to say we must first get an umbrella report from the parliamentary legal service, something which you have not even agreed before, I think it is another way of trying to stall the proceeding of the meeting. And hence I want to object or counter the proposal that we must have an item which is going to deal with the parliamentary legal service report. Because if that we expected that we should have talked about today we are saying the parliamentary legal cases will come into the meeting when we will be delivering in clause by clause. It is the impact of the clause which will tell if this portfolio committee is waived or it is on track. And hence I support you by way of objecting to my honorable member next law. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to DBE and to my colleagues here and everyone joining us this morning. Chair, I have the expectation as well that Parliamentary Legal Services would be here. I'm not going to labour the point in terms of that, but I think I want to respond firstly to the objection. I think we have made a commitment previously, or I have certainly in my letter as well, to say that we do not wish, I do not wish to stall any process. So I don't, I would really want to, in advance, address that notion that in what I am going to say, that there is such a intention. The issue around the Treasury, thank you, Chair, for saying, I also had the expectation that both Treasury and Legal Services would be here before we start the clause by clause process. If Parliamentary Legal Services has not been part of the process this far. They have not addressed the committee at all. They haven't been part of the report either that we have adopted. And As I understand you, they are coming, but it was my hope that they would have addressed us in terms of the report particularly that we are going to be discussing and adopting. And then secondly, the issue around Treasury is important because the DBE is here to tell us how much they need for the book. But it is Treasury that will tell us in terms of the finances that are available. So I think we need to see it within the context, not of stalling, but within the context of accountability and oversight, Chair. And yeah, that's just what I want to say in terms of what is being put forward. And then, if I may also ask, Chair, in terms of the agenda, if my letter to the committee and to yourself would then be form part of the agenda or be noted in the agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, I would also align myself with what I said. You know, we adopted the statement of the people and now outdated system. And every time we have been to putting extra expectations and extra letters and extra everything. And that was not part of the initial statement that we adopted. So I would propose, Chair, that we move with the agenda as it is. And even when there's a need for other things to be clarified, can they be done in another time? Because now we adopted this thing, we should continue this thing with the agenda as it is. So I propose that we should.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the department, also to the administration, fellow colleagues. I have to agree, disagree slightly with Honourable Rosetta as well as Burton. This thing about these 4 points, including the Parliamentary Legal Services and National Treasury, has been raised on many occasions. This is not the first time it's been raised in the committee. It's been letters by Honourable Nodada to yourself as chairperson on these. It was mentioned that you can go check the minutes on many of the committee meetings. So it's nothing new. It's not a stalling process. We are trying to be efficient and effective. It's not a stalling tactic. And by saying that we need Parliamentary Legal Services to come in and tell us when we have amended a clause, it's not sufficient. We need to have a comprehensive report stating that all of the clauses are constitutional or possible unintended consequences, as they are, because no disrespect to the parliament, to the legal services of the department, they are the exact same people that drafted this these clauses, so they will defend these clauses, if I can even call it that. So it's being a referee and a player. So for me, National Treasury is a very important point that we need to have the financial implications of whether we can actually have grade R as an example, as the classroom, as the infrastructure, and then I can tell us if we can, because there's an unintended consequence that if you don't send your child to a grade R, then another clause states that you'll be in prison for 12 months. So I think these things are very important before the time, and we have to put it for them before the time, not only today. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'm going to step now. You guys are taking my safety out of the DA. Now, we have said we are at the scene minutes of last week. they were not part of our meeting. We said we are going to deal with the report that you wanted of financial implications. They got nothing to do with that. So parliamentary legal services, they have been part of us. It's not true that they have never been part of us. They have been part of us when we were dealing with oral hair in this same computer room. And we've always asked for their views. It's a pity now that it's not Advocate Misa, because this was Advocate Misa and Advocate Ngema sitting there, both of them giving us guidance. And I did clarify that we are going to use the same approach that DPE and Parliamentary Legal Services will give us. We are not lawyers, but they must tell us whether we are right or we are wrong. But also let me emphasize, this bill is DPE's bill. It's not our bill. It is the Department Legal Services, in my view, that is needed more than even our legal services. But I did say that they are good. So what are we really fighting for? Because the two said items, in my view, they don't need legal services. To get your letter, I must be honest. I received it and I haven't yet responded to it, because the letter that you have sent me, I was going to respond to it out of this meeting, because you wrote it out of this meeting, but now that you are bringing it here, that letter of yours, I think it needs me and you first to discuss outside here. And then if we do not agree, we can bring it here. Because also, your content today is that we must use a metric method to bring the report. Now, I don't know, and I've been saying, the only thing I know that is Amanda. Whether it's sampling to me, whether it's metrics, if it has got numbers, to me that is enough as a politician. But also, the problem I have is that in the same game, you are contesting numbers. Now, really now, you are taking us to arithmetic. Will let us discuss the arithmetic, the issue of numbers. Let's leave the numbers. But just in our view, we have been engaged in the public hearing. What was the outcome? It can't be this committee's fault that we try and people think that are nothing. In my view, as a chairperson of this committee, it is only true email that there is a higher number overall that is not supported. As any other entry to support or not to support this bill, supported this bill. People of South Africa supported this bill, and you must put it very clear. In your own eyes, what you have seen in public hearing. So you are holding us at one point here because you want us. Now, if you want us to recount, it means you are saying, let us stop and let us recount all the submissions that have come. And that means me now to speak with the chair, because that would need the committee to have forced us to do that. Because that was the issue until when we received the submissions there. So you want us to recount those submissions and these submissions. But really, are you saying that our staff that has been doing work all these years for us, we don't trust them? Because of what we have said to the public as the members of this committee. It's not our responsibility, it's not our fault, and we've been quiet. We've been quiet when people were standing in public hearings, telling us off speaker, which we don't know nothing about. We've been stopping it from day one, since day number last, we knew that was not true. Now we must deal with arithmetic, now we must deal with math, my brother. I know. We are politicians, for heaven's sake. I am again asking you that let us proceed with the agenda as is. We need to finish this process. We only need to finish this process. We can speak, Honorable Minister, at the moral center.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. With the fear of being misunderstood again, and I think it's important for me to emphasize But I don't want you to find yourself in a similar situation with the DB and Treasury. So the reason why I raise these things consistently with you, not just for letters, but in meetings, is to safeguard the process. I'm going to repeat it. Because Parliament is a legislator. We are legislators. We're supposed to make laws in line with particular processes. When you are dealing with a bill, whether the bill came via the executive or came via a private member, whatever the case may be, there's a process that must follow. Part of the process is that we must have the department, for example, who has now come up with a bill to tell us, look, you've done an environmental impact assessment, this is what you intend to do with the bill, how much is it going to cost, what are the implications, and so on. National Treasury has a responsibility. We can go look at the child protection bill, we can go look at the land expropriation that was brought to Parliament. They've got a role to play there. The department has a role to play there. Nobody is casting aspersions on anything. But for us to be guided as legislators, we need to get that information from them. And I asked in advance, way before time, to safeguard the process. I don't want to change the perception, and I think we've even had conversations outside of that. Nobody wants to stall anything. It's to safeguard the process. So that at a later stage, nobody's going to come and challenge this process that you didn't do X, Y, Z. And you overlook X, Y, Z as parliamentarians. The second thing, Chair, beyond the National Treasury Report, parliamentary legal services, as per the process, need to present to us and say, where the bill for 56 clauses, blah, 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 blah. There are no constitutional implications on the member, or there are constitutional implications on X, Y, and Z. So my request to you, Chair, was to say, let's please put an agenda point. I didn't say let's go now and ask them to be here for DB's presentation, the consideration of minutes. I just said there's 3 points there. Consideration of our adoption of agenda, the briefing by DBE. Then the third point that I was requesting to add in the agenda is that parliamentary legal services give the report on any constitutional implications before we even deal with clause by clause, as per a process. Right? And then the fourth item would be, let's go to clause by clause. Now, I don't know how it's taken, but for me, the important thing is to safeguard the process as honorable member, so that at the later stage, we're not challenged on this process, on whatever platform. So that was my suggestion, Chair. So I plead, colleagues, that you don't misconstrue or view it in whatever perception that you may have with it. That is to safeguard the process. And with all due respect, Chair, this is not my first time raising this thing. Honestly speaking, we can go to minutes and have requested these things. You know, honestly speaking, so that we can safeguard the process. So can you please take it in that spirit and not take it in a different spirit that I thought was not the same. Thank you so much.
But I think we are just moving in circles. Because you see, if what my neighbor is saying was raised in our last meeting when we deferred the adoption of the national report to this very meeting, it would have been something which he could have assisted, because they would have been told in advance to prepare that report. But to keep quiet then, and all of a sudden when we are supposed to adopt the national report, we bring in alien things. You see, I have got no objection to all issue of the brief, the DVD, and the financing, and what have you, something which you have already agreed to. But all of a sudden, in the nick of time, Chairperson to bring out or bring in completely a new subject or agenda item on the parliamentary legal committee for them to give up the report. It's news to some of us as members of this portfolio committee. And I rise or stand here because I think we will be hijacking the legal services. And for certain, have they consulted with you that they've got the report? Number two, such a report should be equally gone through the secretary so that we see it in advance. We failed to adopt the national report because of the question time. I mean, those, the timing, that we do not have enough time to go through this. Now, what all of a sudden now when we are going to demand the parliamentary legal service report in this meeting now, when shall we have gone through it? It is just not possible that we can even entertain this. But I think the whole issue of the parliamentary legal service will be covered when we go clause by clause, because the process by itself, if indeed we were wayward, it could have been stopped or disputed during the course of time. That we are your own wayward. Why should the parliamentary legal service wait until the tail end and now come and tell us that we are out of order? Just as then, after you said that, I move that this is a agenda be adopted as is. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I think I'm not going to refer to the general comments that you've made in terms of inaccuracies. I'm not sure what you are referring to with that, so I'm unable to respond to that. But I think I can see in which direction we are going, and it is really not helpful for the process for us to not find each other in terms of how we move forward, because I can only give and say that all of us are here now. We are here for this week. We are doing the clause by clause. I think the commitment to the process is shown by us all being here. We cannot, in terms of intentions of people, our own or that of others, comment on that. So for that reason, because it seems as if we're not going to, I think I'm just going to put on the record. One, before I do that, is I have raised the issues, procedural issues, several times in the committee, even the processes in terms of the public hearings. I've done that. So it is not the first time that we are raising issues around, as a committee, around constitutionality of process and to parliamentary legal services, as we embark on the journey of clause by clause, to review what has been done, to look at that. The importance of that has already been furnished by Honourable Mabara. I'm not going to go into that. I just want, for the record, I requested that we needed to have the parliamentary legal services review the public participation processes. In particular, the meetings were moved, such as to Maritzburg, and I'm now highlighting the issues in terms of process up until this far that we have raised, were cancelled at the last minute, such as in Mpumalanga, and if that materially affects the fairness of the process, and if and to what degree we have succeeded or failure to conduct a comprehensive or fair process. Secondly, they have not, parliamentary legal services, have not participated when the draft provincial reports were adopted. Thirdly, parliamentary legal services need to address us on the vote. Then afterwards, it gives us time to consider their responses. But the important, in terms of the two votes that I have had, experience with, parliamentary legal services form part of that. And before we even address the clause by clause, they went through the constitutional muster of what is proposed by the department with the committee in question. And so I do not understand why it is that it can be seen as an obstruction to the process. In fact, it tightens the process. It actually safeguards the process. So that if there's any review in future against the vote, then we have made sure that we have filled the gap. And then fourthly, we need an opinion or guidance from Parliament's legal services to address the constitutionality, the legality of the functionship, it was mentioned by Honourable Kanzel, and legality and the implications of lowering the compulsory school age in the bill while the fulfillment of the state obligation in respect of that and the legislation governing that will not be originating from this committee. So there are several issues, Chair, that makes it imperative for them to address us in terms of the process we've embarked on, in terms of certain of the clauses as mentioned by several members here, before we even start the clause by clause, because then the committee is furnished with that understanding to engage those clauses. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm not sure if
we are forgetful also now, because when we started with the conference, it's just the Honorable Council of Methane. We engaged with the Legal Services of Parliament. That's when we started, and they assured us that we are still within the legal services and the constitutionality of this thing. That process we did overseas. The second process, we engaged with the Legal Services when we did the oral submissions in the very same committee. So today we are here dealing with loss to loss. The Legal Services are here. Why are we still stalling? Why are we saying the main tactics when we know that we want to finish it this day? So I hope again that we adopt the agenda as it is. Thank you, Chair.
Very close to the members of Parliament, and one other protocol observed. Maybe I should come closer to the mic. Chair, I think I would want us to proceed. I think you are giving me after sharing my job. I would want to agree that we proceed to every time. I don't think that these processes are isolated from each other. There's a thing in this cost. Been turned back from union building, some base or that might, that would have been an oversight. And it has not been a trained match for a crisis. So I'm requesting, Chair, that we proceed as per our agenda, proposed by Honorable Mulateka, and that these processes coexist with each other. And there's no need to stall one process because of another, as we see the prerequisite. There is no such. There is no prerequisite that legal prejudices must commend on legality and on constitutionality before a committee can proceed with this work. Our work does not create that prerequisite. We can proceed, do our work. Legal services can give us their written opinion. As and when it's ready, we will engage on that opinion. So I would want to second that we proceed as we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I'm I don't know which direction that is referring to, that we are taking, but I don't know which one we need, but we'll see. But also, I think let me come and use this opportunity to say that firstly, Oracle addresses covered me, that there was this bill we were briefed by, there were parliamentarians and the bill we were briefed on how to proceed. We were all there, those who were there. And we have proceeded. Now, we are told of procedural issues. And that is Mpumalanga mentioned. Mpumalanga, by the way, we would recall, we have dropped it and reconvened. So I don't know what procedure. I don't know all of us who is not a human that is not making mistakes. Because it's not just a human mistake and we have agreed to that. We have proceeded. Peter Maritzburg. I don't know how you isolate a Peter Maritzburg. And to me, it says when a member of the committee would make this rule of something she says is procedurally wrong. When it suits you, isolate yourself, you are not part of the collective. You name the bill the way you want. You undermine everybody in this committee, because the spokesperson, you see the bill the way you want, and you must accept it because we are also at the receiving end. When you want to bullshit, and I'm saying, everybody, you do it.
Point of order, Chair.
Advocate Mesa.
Point of order, Chair.
Has been undermined. Yes. No, no, no.
Chair,
Advocate Mesa has been undermined.
Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
We kept quiet.
Point of order, Chair. Chairperson.
There is this doctor from DPU. Who is this?
Chairperson.
Doctor. I will come to your order. I'm telling them things. I will come to your order.
The rules of Parliament, point of order. Chairperson.
Order. You can speak with us.
As per the rules of Parliament, you are not supposed to use foul language or unparliamentary language. I know that your passion is to speak, and but can you please refrain from doing that?
I apologize.
Please
address the challenge. I apologize. Advocate Mesa has been said very wrong things. We kept quiet. To an extent, she had to excuse herself. Because a certain individual is not rich. We never was. There's a doctor that's presented here. What's the name of the person or what? Huh? Who's that one? Was undermining our meeting. We kept quiet. Our staff has been sent from pillar to post. We kept quiet. A member of this committee has went viral to the whole country, speaking on behalf of this committee, when she is not a spokesperson of the committee. We kept quiet. Members of the public have been giving wrong information, I repeat it, deliberately to say something is wrong with this bill. We kept quiet. Now, our staff is made to say that they cannot count. We
And as I have said, we are coming from different school of thought, and that makes people to think that they have one wisdom, which is the wisdom that must be country-wise, is very wrong. All of a sudden now, these are provincial reports, parliamentary services have not been part of it, but all of a sudden, it has been menaced. You can't, when you want to be part of the process, we must allow you. When you want to keep out of the process, we take you out. When you want to come, it's like you are playing the thing down here. You must not try it, you know. I will that we move with this agenda.
Can I point the border check?
But you not move with that, then?
I think you have addressed me, Chair, and I have the right to respond.
I have ruled that we move with that, then.
Well, Chair, note the objection, my objection to this agenda as it is being presented. It is not in response to any other thing but the issues raised in terms of the responsibilities of this commission.
I have made a ruling.
Well, Chair,
Now, if we go back to the process, we had
acted as a force. We had the first submissions were written submissions. We extended the date until the 15th of August. The written submissions that were there were around 17,452 that Now I want to understand how is it that there were only 6,715 of those 17,452 that were submitted by people. And then we analyze less than a third of that entire submission. I just want to understand the rationale because it's not given here in the report. But when we consider public participation, if there are 17,452 submissions at the written point, then you've got organizations that come and present on an oral submission, which they came, they were sitting in the room. Then we went to public participation in different 9 provinces and people spoke on the bill. When you tell me the number, in terms of the submissions analyzed, there's a discrepancy there. So the first question for me is, why was the 6,715 analyzed, and then the remainder of that, of the 17,452 was never analyzed? It means that we've got close to 9,500, if not more, written submissions that were never analyzed at all. Whether from a qualitative point of view in terms of what they believe in terms of the 56 clauses, or a quantitative argument in terms of the numbers. Because now we're sitting with a report that says, look, of those that were analyzed, we've analyzed 6,700, 87% were no, these percentages were in support, and then you go to the oral submissions, these organizations didn't support, these ones didn't support, when you went to public participation, this support, this didn't support. The qualitative arguments, I think, from the public hearing are covered in terms of the report. But my biggest fear in terms of adopting the discrepancy in the report is that you're sitting with almost a third of the total submission that we never analyzed from the reading of that report and the report that was presented to us the first time we spoke. So that's my first question. So when you also look at what the report is about, because I would assume that the people that draft the report would know exactly this is the amount that was submitted, this is what we analyzed, and this is the outcome, and this is the total number. We're sitting with 32,941 that has been explained to us as submission. But the actual total number is 34,539. And of that, 9,500 has not been analyzed at all. And this is not me saying it's the same report. So we need to make sure that, Chair, when we continue to approach by clause process, we've got an accurate report. And that's why I requested that let's not analyze this thing 24 hours before. Let's be given time to read it so that we can understand the discrepancies. And when I wanted to ask questions last week, maybe they would have been able to prepare the answer for me today. That's why I initially said, why don't you ask specific questions? Because they were glaring. They were there in our faces. So that's the first thing. The second thing, Chair. Okay, that's the third thing. Yeah, the third thing, Chair. The submissions that were made that the courier box arrived. So the courier box that arrived with 11,400 and some odd submissions or 700,000 submissions. Then you've got Yes Bella Bill that has submitted emails. You've got other organizations that have submitted submissions. Yes Bella Bill and other organizations submissions I take in as one submission. Even though there's thousands of people, I mean 29,000 people that objected to this with points, qualitative arguments. Then you get a courier box of 11,700 people, then you rush to go analyze that 11,745 people that submitted on the courier box and it's taken as individual submission. So I want to understand what is the rationale of having two different approaches to the submissions that are made by the public. One, you analyze the box individually, overlooking, by the way, the 17,452 submissions that were made before that box arrived. And we focus on that, and we take a different approach when it comes to Dear Bella Bill and other organizations that would have submitted via email and also made a physical submission. And then the third question for me, part of the minutes that are adopted by on the 1st of August, including the things I raised before, it's a pity that now today we have amnesia, we forgot. I've made a request, Chair, to have a breakdown on the matrix, analyzing the breakdown of submissions per clause, to say that on these particular clauses, this is the amount of submissions with the qualitative argument. Can I ask, are we still going to get that matrix as part of this report? of the written submission, what is the breakdown of them in terms of the matrix clause by clause. And I just want to put it to you, Chair, in this way, so that everybody understands that there seems to be no explanation in terms of this Excel spreadsheet that was submitted in terms of MST and the email in terms of the report. It seems like it's bundled into one. I don't know whether it's separated or not, and maybe we can get clarity on that. But under point number 9, there are two categories, namely Excel spreadsheet rechecked on the 5th of August as per the report, and then comparing the numbers on point 6.1 of that. It seems that these both accounts are email, that's why I asked the question, email submission, and under 6.1 as well, you see that these categories have been contained in two different percentages of views. Email category of 87.3% and then MS of 94.8%. So I wanted to check the 6.7 that you talk about in that particular category. Is it email, is it MS word, what is it? So that we can get a clear indication. And then, based on the analysis of all of this, Chair, if we're to tally the numbers together with the percentages in the report that has been given to us, you'll find that 14,900 submissions would have supported the bill, 18,422 submissions would have not supported the bill, 1,446 would have partially supported the bill, 1,326 would have been undeclared. So I just wanted to get clarity on those discrepancies. And that will inform how we obviously deal with the report to the next stage. Thanks, sir.
So thank you very much, the Chair. I would have wanted to raise a point of form, but I felt, let me allow Honorable Mota to finish off his question. The point of what I would have wanted to raise, Chair, is on the presentation Honorable Mota made that seems to suggest that he was running a separate back office process to analyze submissions in the detail. That also raises an issue of testing that process. Because if we are to agree to this method, it means we must also test the process used that makes Honorable Mota have come to these numbers. And if we are unable to do that as a committee, I would suggest that responses of a nature that suggests as a separate back office process be withheld, because it means we must audit his process. Because he's too specific on individual submissions, too specific. But who would have audited that back office process? So are we now a committee who are going to audit two parallel processes? One done by Parliament, the other done by Honorable Mota. I would suggest, Honorable Chair, that we veer off from that the term, because it requires an audit. If you are to respond to this, it means now we must match what Parliament has done with what Mota does, the office has done. We are not going to finish. That's my order, Chair.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I want to also just respond to what earlier you referred directly with me. I'm not able to respond because, like I said, it's vague, it's general. I cannot respond to that. No, I think, Chair, you addressed something and you put it up in public, and I think it needs to be responded to. Okay. Then I would accept that, and I will.
Can I can I finish? We are not ahead now. We will wait till you are the chapter of the community. And when that day comes, we give you the cleaner from that.
Jay, can I need to respond to the report. You cannot stop me. As a member of parliament, you cannot stop me. You cannot stop me. According to the Powers and Privileges Act of this parliament, I'm a member of this parliament and I am supposed to...
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I... You cannot stop me. Can you stop me? You
cannot have your own agenda.
This is not my agenda.
You have to listen to your own agenda and find out what you want to say.
I objected to the agenda.
Chair, I would want this meeting to refrain from having a dialogue. I would call an order that we must not entertain dialogue. Let us respect procedures of the meeting. Whether they sweep us or they don't, let us respect procedures of the meeting and avoid having dialogue. And a word of advice to all of us. I would like to request that we try and be as calm as possible throughout the procedure. But let us respect procedures of the meeting. If you chair make a ruling, members know that to submit an objection, what they must do, let's proceed as such. But let us avoid dialogue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Just indulge people for just 5 minutes. If you go to page 57, and now you'll maybe understand if you do this calculation yourself, you'll see the discrepancy that is reported on an official document. So then the question that things come in where we are ourselves now unsure. Because if you do the calculation and what is given here, there's a discrepancy. Even on this thing, that is our parliamentary report, you cannot adopt something that's not right. If you sit there, even with principle, it's got a calculator on your phone, if you do those calculations, you see there's a discrepancy. 37, page 37, so I think just maybe do that and you'll see where our suspicion might come from.
Goodness, you know, I'm small, good morning, and not long it will be good afternoon. I think we are meeting the mark. I'm saying we. And as far as trying to correct this report, the national report is called, the approach we are taking, I think we are meeting the mark. And in biblical terms, to meet the mark is to sin. Yeah. We have seen it. Yeah. No. You see, if people want to correct, I'm getting in on a procedure of matter. Can I be protected from my lieutenant on the left? Okay. Thank you. Chair, I am writing on a procedure of matter. We are missing the mark in this year. I was the pioneer in indicating what should be included in the report, which is not. And now, I realize we want to correct the report and at the same time discuss it. It's procedurally not correct. and the option. I think if Honorable Nokata might be having a point, which point was in a way disputed by Honorable Yabo, when he said, you see, if you bring a point of your own vision, we will also love that point to be subjected to scrutiny and testing and other like. What Honorable Nokata could have done to assist the process is to indicate that I am in disagreement with the tallying of the numbers on page this and that as compared to this and that. And it being as I said, but if he would still have to pursue it, he can write down that based on what I have submitted, can we make a sort of an audit in as far as the numbers are concerned. But that in itself cannot stop this report from being adopted, because it is a different process altogether to verify. It's something which cannot be done before the report. It's a prerequisite for the adoption of the report. So the manner in which we submit our objection is flawed, it's unprocedural, it's unrunning the meeting, the way in which meetings are supposed to be run. And hence, Chairperson, if there are no any further corrections or no any other addition to the report as presented last week, I rise here and now to move that this report be adopted with all those highlights as put by other honorable members. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Chair. In terms of what has just been said by principal, we last week moved both the adoption and the discussion on the report to this week. That was my understanding when we met last week. And I'm going to refer to the issues around meaningful public participation and why it is important for us to consider every single submission. So if it has not been done to address the matter of submission that has not been processed. Chair, I'm going to refer to a constitutional court judgment in the Mukhali matter regarding the traditional and Khoisan leadership board. Parliament was found to have failed in...
Just on a point of order. I think this is according to the Parliament rules. I'm right. The rules will also allow me to... I just speak standing on what it. There's nothing in the rules, in the rule book, that will solve it. Chairperson, I have moved that the report be adopted. And in the first place, it is the duty of the chair to check if there is a seconder. And after seconder, another way going forward is the responsibility of the chair to check if there is an objection. Then that's where Sukers can be active. She cannot discuss something before my motion of moving is seconded or not seconded. Thank you.
But
I have put it on the order down.
No,
he can't be
seconded.
Because
now you can't. I see this as a chair. And it's very close to me. What if I lose myself?
If I want to support
the no, wait.
I never want to say that.
Not a question. Can you please separate from each other, you two? If you can, keep quiet.
Shall I proceed, Chair? The Chair, as I've highlighted, and I think it has been highlighted by Honourable Sunday around the numbers and the fact that the numbers are not correlated, and the fact that there is a significant amount that has not, in terms of the report, been processed or accounted for. And in the letter that I wrote to you, I said that I'm concerned that in the report it refers to email submission and that the remainder is not processed. And I said there that it needs to be urgently clarified as it has a serious implication for the committee's ability to be dealing with the clause by clause, because if we as a committee must give regard to the public submissions that have been made. Parliament has a duty in terms of Rule 286 of the National Assembly Rules to consider the public comments it received, because when we call for public comment, we do so on a basis that we are actually going to meaningfully engage with it and consider it. And I just want the committee to be mindful of just a recent judgment of the Constitutional Court in the Mukhali matter regarding the traditional...
Can you follow to the report? Okay.
I don't understand why
in the
Parliament, when I'm dealing with a matter that's on the agenda, Chair, I don't understand why is that it continues to happen and then that I am being accused then when I am doing my job that I am trying to chair the meeting. I'm not. What I'm trying to do is to do my work.
But what you are referring to is in the report.
Yes,
Chair.
Chair,
you cannot run the meeting in the discussion that is part of the
power.
And
I'm not.
No, but Chair,
you can't call me to order because of the organizing.
No, I'm calling the order, Chair, because you're chairing the meeting. You're supposed to be steering and guiding the meeting as per the rules of power. The procedure of power is very clear. The minutes are there. We can't deal with the report, discuss it, ask questions today. Then consider our doctors. Now, if I come and sit here and I ask questions and I make points on the report, a member must be allowed to do that.
Even if they are not in the report?
Disagree.
Even if they are not in the report?
They are referring you to something that could have implications in the report. You must allow them to make a point that you...
We are coming to the report, you come to that second basis.
Then he is going to make a point that you...
No, but don't tell me how to chair also.
Parliamentary rules is not about you chairing. Parliamentary rules, how we proceed in Parliament. Whether you like what I say or not, and allow someone to make a point that you win. It's as simple as that.
Okay, I call one of the men.
Thank you, Chair. Public participation must be meaningful, and in the judgment of the Traditional and Khoisan Leadership Board, Parliament was found to have failed its constitutional obligation to facilitate public involvement, and the Act was therefore found to be unconstitutional due to the manner in which the bill was adopted. Parliament has an obligation not only to ensure that the content of a bill is constitutional, but actually the process that we embark on, that is constitutional as well. The Court noted in their judgment that public participation acts as a safeguard to prevent the interests of the marginalized being ignored or misrepresented. And I'm stressing the issue around constitutional muster in terms of process and in terms of the clause by clause. I have no desire whatsoever to delay the process. I am here. And I cannot say more than that. But in terms of the process...
Yes, I thought you said you must correct the report so that we can address the report and move. Now we are listening to all of the members making their speeches and the comments that they are prepared to come and delay the process. Can I move to adopt the report as the Honourable Mwaseka has actually seconded?
I am not correcting only the report, Chair. I'm correcting the report and I'm engaging the report as is the rules of this Parliament and what is my job as a parliamentary member. It is my job. I do not understand it. And we cannot continue to do that. We make ourselves guilty as Parliament. We can't do what is being done with members continuing to call a point of order on a matter where I am addressing the
Honourable
Chair.
Can I ask you now, as Honourable Chair, as Honourable Chair, Can I ask, because I think we're done with
corrections.
Any second
I am not done with
corrections. I'm going to
Okay.
I would like to therefore to move to adopt with correction. In particular, on the calculations on page 27, there is a discrepancy between the total number and the number on the asterisk. So can we get that corrected so that we do not adopt the report with that flaw in it?
Thank you very much. Can I the report is adopted. Can we now the amendment? Can we now vote? To follow the rules of Parliament in terms of asking him to engage the force of Parliament, seeking clarity, seeking questions, engaging the report. I haven't even gotten the point. How do you adopt something? There's still questions that are standing there. On the same report, they have not been responded to by the parliamentary team. How do you going to adopt something? Clarity, seeking questions, if every report is done in Parliament, including DBE, we ask questions. They respond to us. If we could follow up, we write for us. Or we ask them to follow up. Now you want to rush to adopt a report that's got one discrepancy, our questions are not responded to. Now you want to watch the process yourself. Having guided in the beginning, we need to safeguard the process.
We're not quite guided in this process. Should be hopefully. You can't say that by correcting others. And then we were supposed to adopt the support last week, but never had an issue that is not an adequate tax. Now you are raising issues that is corrected into the report. And these four officials now must respond to that. Now, for the sake of justice, I will request that they look into this matter, they correct them as you have raised. And then we move on to the next report, because the next presentation, because the report is valid.
On the point of order,
I'm telling you all.
Our objection to the report,
yes.
And the entire process that you're now about to come to mind,
okay.
Of watching the entire process of the book,
okay.
No financial implications on it,
okay.
No parliamentary legal services. There's no parliamentary legal services support. You're now not even allowed to get the points and the questions on the discrepancy of this. Well, you want to push through the bill. If that's what you want to do, go ahead and go and do that.
Okay.
You won't participate in a process that is going to implicate millions of our children and parents are taking away a life of them being able to participate in this process and watching like this. It is really, really not right, Chairman. You are members of Parliament, you are representatives of the people, but supposed to at least make sure that the process you embark on is the correct one. But if you embark on
the
correct process, yeah, that's
not
that.
My objection
is to
thank
you very much, Chair.
And Chair, I want for the record to say that my right as a member of Parliament has been restricted, and in accordance to the Privileges and the Powers and Privileges Act, that it is not allowed what has been happened here. I was not allowed to comment on the further engage on this report. I was interrupted. Other members were recognized to speak in my stead. And Chair, I object to this report on the basis that this report does not do justice to the constitutional obligation that we have to consider every single public submission that was made here. Neither were we, as in our oversight function as Parliament, have we been receiving a reply on the issues that we wanted to raise.
Thank
I object on the report and on the number.
No, thank you. Can we go to the report of
BPE?
Thank you very much.
Go well,
and when?
No.
You speak badly, Johnson.
You were part of the forum at the beginning.
Can you move the rest? The strategy is new from last week is coming. You are moving out, not out.
I have no desire to march out.
Your plan is from wrong. Now you have to execute
it. In new office.
Go well, go shell.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. This is a report that CDE was requested to provide around financial implications of the benefit. That is the outline of issues that we're going to cover in this report. We know what the benefit is all about. The financial implications are really going to be around the implementation of Grade R more than any other thing. Now, it is expected of any government department that it does an assessment, an impact assessment. And this is done through completion what we call a socio-economic impact assessment system. For fair, this is driven by the presidency, the monitoring and evaluation section of the presidency. Now, when this benefit was conceptualized, in order for it to reach parliament, it has to go through that route of getting approval. And it is where the indicators, the financial indication, and all the impact studies around it, and that has been approved. So for us, the approval of sale is an indication of government commitment around the implementation of the deal. More so, you remember that we had a funding shift from the Department of Social Development to GBE in order to move all these learners who are considered to be early childhood to the Department of Social Education. So all this is also grouped in that session. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why we will request for additional funding specifically to deal with the child issue.
I just want to say, sir, you put
on record,
you don't have quorum. I want to put on record, you don't have quorum. And you can't proceed with anything.
We need it.
And for the rule of parliament, we need to have six members in the house. Whatever is going to come today, you can't take any decision.
Comes in is that we do have
public institution currently, and they are funded under.
Where they are in existence at the moment. Where we have been very successful is the building of standalone grade art classes separate from the rest of the classes. And in some schools, when we build a new school, we already build it with a grade art facility. Sometimes when we replace schools, the mud schools, the asbestos schools and all that, we replace them with grade art classes. And this is funded through the education infrastructure grant and the equitable share portion by provinces. It is also funded by accelerated school infrastructure delivery initiative, which is funded through school infrastructure backlog grant. And we also have the MTEF that also contributes to digital infrastructure. So when we counted the number of classes that are required where there's no enough, it is a total of about 7,888 that you require to make available. Now, that will go to an amount of 12 billion. It is also an exaggerated figure because some of the schools do have classes available. What you need to do is to contract and not to build. So it doesn't mean that a school that does not have the app will need to have contractors coming in and building a new classroom and all. So we're going to the maximum. So when you take that, it gives you that total. Per province, how many classes are we having? How many classes do we need? And I said, it's an exaggerated figure there. And if we were to build a class for every school that does not have great art, we'll end up with that figure of 12 billion. So Chairperson, you need to add 12 billion of infrastructure and the 4 billion of staffing. That will give you about 16 billion that we require as a department to implement the benefit. Now, if not only infrastructure and teachers that require a little bit of funding, the rest of the things are covered by line function. For example, when the Better Bill gets signed into law, we need to have a campaign to make the country aware. That is mobilization. We need to start training of officials, school governing bodies on the implementation of that. So that is covered through the budget of line function because they do this on a day-to-day basis. It also covers issues of monitoring and support, which line function will then carry because of those responsibilities. Any other things such as printing of the new bill and the training are already covered in the land function budget. So what is important is that when the Minister of Finance gives a budget after the approval of this benefit, these figures are then included. And when we give schools their staff establishment, they will then cover the number of teachers as per the number of learners, and that's how we allocate our expenses.
Thank you very much,
Dave.
The personal aspect of this presentation was less than two, but I think it was good that we received the presentation for our own benefit as the members of the committee. Thank you very much for the presentation. It's now 11 o'clock. It's different. So I suggest that we go for tea, and then we are going to come back at 5:30, later 11:30. So can we go for tea, and then we are going to come back at 5:30. Thank you.
Thank you. I missed the part where before going to okay.
Yeah, so they only research him for how much, for how long?
At the walk course. Yeah, which is what, in 10 minutes or 15 minutes?
Okay.
Yeah, also
so
wants to take a quick body break. Mm-hmm.
So, just one last question, because I needed to get those at exchange.
The last presentation that was given, do you have that one?
Okay.
The one that was given by James and Levy? I don't think so. I also
is it this one?
It.
With the CS support as well? Because I... Yeah,
that's the one that you gave.
So this is already completed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you so much, ma'am.
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm fine,
you just about to drop everything again.
Oh, well, I'm not as bad as things.
And
I have all the things I can ask you to later.
Very nice.
So we are just
from a different guy, from Learn Free. But I'm already snack everybody.
Yeah, well, no, definitely.
I'm going to go to the house and I'm going to go to the house.
When I get the
I am a member of the portfolio committee. When we count the numbers, we don't say anything. You count as the number. But you don't know. That is the thing.
Thank you very much.
Every weekend.
Oh, you do? But you want to know what it is. That's great. I'm glad. Yeah, we'll try and have an evening event. And then, of course, everything like today, we'll share it across the platform, on the social media, all of the other things. Thank you very much for having I'm going to quickly call my son because he actually is going to move down. I still have your support. Oh, thank you very much.
Did you take care of the
I think I'm almost taking photographs of everyone. Yeah, but I would like to be here. But I'll call it a night.
Mara ulindela kwa lamshuni. Eh.
And secondly, we needed to get
financial implications of collapses from the Department of Basic Education, which we also received. Now I need to bring to the attention of the meeting that when we started this meeting, we had about 6 or 7 members. We had 6 members plus myself, we were 7. So basically we were correcting to start the meeting, which we did. And we have adopted the agenda of the meeting as 7. But then when we had to go now to the report, the members of the Democratic Alliance, Honorable Patrick Lazaro and Honorable Marina Fanfay, and the member of the ACDP, Honorable Mari Cooper, has left the meeting, putting an objection on the report. Now, technically, that leaves us 5, because we were joined by Honorable Moerane. And when we are 5, the rules of Parliament are not allowing us to take decisions, because we need to be 6 to take decisions. So that means then, on Rule 162, Subsection 3, it says that when the committee has to decide a question and the quorum in terms of sub-rule 2 is not present, the chairperson may either suspend the business until the quorum is present or adjourn the meeting. Now, the phase we are going to get into is clause of the Bill 156, and each clause needs us to take a decision on it, which means we can't proceed because we are not fixed. So I am proposing with the power to accept in the chairperson that we adjourn this meeting and we reconvene tomorrow morning at 9. So that we start with a clause by clause section. So that is my take, members, and I'm giving it to you then to speak on the matter. Honorable Mugafeta.
My chair, once more, it's still a good morning. And given your informed input on what next to happen, I humbly rise here to support that indeed if the rules do not allow us to proceed, we have got no option to fight the rules, but rather to adjourn this sitting with the hope that tomorrow when we commence with the clause by clause discussion, we shall have made means to constitute that all required quorum. So I humbly and cordially support your proposal. Thank you.
Chair, the proposal is supported.
Thank you, Chair. With that, let's call it a day.
Thank you, Chair.
Always, man.